basically try to get a sense of what we think the idea of the Kinyan Kedushin is. So essentially, we laid out the issue yesterday that seems like from our Mishnah that there is some idea of creating a Kinyan Kedushin, which literally translated sounds like it means like you are purchasing a wife, and that's something which certainly controversial in concept. We can see also why we might find that objectionable. And we started to explain also, it's not even clear what the words would mean. Practically speaking, what would it mean to say that somebody is purchasing a wife? In what sense would he own her? So we first mentioned that there is a debate among the Rishonim as to whether Kiddushin is a mitzvah or not. That the Rambam and the Sefer Achinuch, Tav Kuf Nun Beis, both understand Kiddushin to be a mitzvah. We'll expand on the Rambam's position specifically in a moment. While other Rishonim aren't so sure. So one source to look at inside for a moment, most prominently the Rush. Right? The Rush in Masechus Ksubis and Simen. There it is in Simen Yud Beis, Parak Aleph Simen Yud Beis. So he discusses the Birchas Eirusin, right? And the question of why the Birchas Eirusin is not exactly in the standard formula as other Birchas HaMitzvot. There's much to discuss about Birchas Eirusin. There's a lot that's unusual about how it's formulated. Maybe that's something that we will discuss at a future time. It's a little bit more of a ksugas sugya, but maybe that's something that we'll find the time to address. But here is the key line in the Rush. It says, V'nira li ki bracha zu eina bracha asiyas HaMitzvah, that this is not the mitzvah or the moment of the mitzvah or when the bracha is relevant. Ki priya v'rivya hainu kiyam haMitzvah. V'yam lakach pilegesh v'kiyam priya v'rivya einu mechuyiv v'kadesh isha. And it goes on to say v'chanos z'kena islandis or karib v'chanos chamash v'nasa Mavarach and Brechas Kasanim, the Ein Chiyav Mitzvah Zu, Shein Barkiyam Mitzvah Spri Revia, the Hilkach Lenitkana Bracha Mitzvah Zu. So that second point kind of brings up another issue. First, he's saying that the mitzvah is Pru Revu, and then also that this bracha is associated with those who won't necessarily be doing this in conjunction with Pru Revu. So both of those reflect on the nature of the bracha. But the point that seems to emerge from the Rush is that there isn't a specific mitzvah to getting married. It's really about Pru Revu, and this is the way to get there. It's not necessarily the only way to get there, and therefore it's not a mitzvah in and of itself. Hi.
So the second thing you were saying is that you don't necessarily need to say the Bracha because you can have Pru Revu done.
Well, you don't necessarily need to the Kedushin. Right? Since you don't necessarily have to the Kedushin, then you wouldn't necessarily have to have this bracha. So apparently the Rush's understanding is that Kedushin is not independently a mitzvah, but it is a path to Pru Revu. The real mitzvah that's involved is Pru Revu, and therefore Kedushin doesn't have its own significance. Now, there's a lot to explore about that. It's also interesting. Maybe we'll give a Sunday shiur about this because this happens to have a lot of Elul Tishrei overlaps, just kind of coincidentally. But the idea of what is the status of an action which is not a mitzvah itself, but is either necessary in order to perform a mitzvah, or what if it's not necessary but still a step towards performing a mitzvah? So let's say, for example, Kiddushin, that if you say it's not its own mitzvah, but that Pru Revu is a mitzvah. So this is either a preparation that you need to do, or at least a preparation that's relevant, even if there are other ways. So what does that say about that? There's a lot to say about that. Maybe we'll discuss that as kind of a supplementary topic. But in any event, so we have the Rambam's position that we have a clear mitzvah here, And from other Rishonim, it's not so obvious. Maybe we'll come back to talking about the dueling statements in Moichat and Beitza. But don't think we'll let that get forgotten. We'll come back to that. But this is a major issue. So assuming that there is a mitzvah of Kiddushin, so where does this whole Kenyan idea come in? Right. So we started to say yesterday that both from a source perspective and from a logic perspective, it doesn't seem to be that we're talking about purchasing a woman. Again, all sensibilities aside, even if we didn't find it to be controversial, but it doesn't seem like it's true. We know that there are a number of statements in the Rishonim in different contexts where they incidentally bring up the fact that Aisha ain gufa kanoi, that she is not herself considered to be purchased, to be the property of the husband. We saw that in the context of the question, for example, just the easiest example to mention was the discussion of the Rishonim on Daf Gimel. Why don't we use other types of kinyanim, like Hagba or Meshicha or Chazaka? So there, see, the answer is because you're not acquiring this object. And therefore, the whole concept doesn't work. It doesn't transfer. You have to have other types of kinyanim. One other discussion about this, which I didn't put on the Mar Makomos because it's a little bit more complicated. Certainly, you can look it up. Is there is a major machlokas in the Nosei Kelim and the Shulchan Aruch about how to relate to Kinyan Kesef. So Kinyan Kesef is one of the three paths of Kiddushin. And in general, it's Kinyan. Other areas of Halacha as well. So there is a concept of a Kinyan Kesef. You could acquire land through a Kinyan Kesef. You can acquire property through a Kinyan Kesef. So there's a machlokas, how exactly it works. So if I buy a couch, and I do so through a Kinyan Kesef, so okay, I give a quarter, and now the couch is mine. The couch costs $5,000, fancy couch. So, all right, so you have to pay. You have a chov, you have a debt to pay the $5,000. But the couch is yours now once the seller agrees to give it to you and you made the kinyan, etc. Okay? So, there is a machlokas. What exactly is the nature of that kinyan kesef? Should we say that that quarter that I gave towards the couch, is that basically kesef shivoy, meaning it's for the value of the couch? This is a down payment. It doesn't equal the value of the couch, so it's a down payment. So I paid you 25 cents, now I owe you $4,999.75. Or should we say that no, it's not a down payment. The idea that we acquire things with money and we're using a Kinyan Kesef is perhaps confusing. That maybe these are two different ideas that are getting mixed into each other. Right? We know that when we buy something, we have to pay for it. But maybe that's separate from the Kinyan. Right? That language is important to clarify. Because the Kinyan is the act of acquisition. And the fact that you have to pay for it normally means that the seller agrees to give it to me because I'm paying for it. And once he gives it to me, if he gives it to me and I pay later, if that's the kind of deal, so then it's mine when he gives it to me and I have a debt to pay. Which has important halachic ramifications, by the way, just to clarify, because the Kinyan Kesef is one of the kinyanim we use when we sell chametz on Pesach. So at that time, the purchaser of the chametz never pays the full value of the chametz. He agrees to pay the full value of the chametz a week later, after Pesach is over. And then, if it turns out that he wants to give it back, he doesn't want to hold on to it, so he gives it back and we don't make him pay the rest. But the payment is independent from the purchase. We don't say that, oh, because he didn't pay, he never owned it in the first place. That would be a huge problem for us. That would mean that he never owned our chametz on Pesach. And so the nature of the deal is that he gets the chametz straight out. And the fact that he has to pay the purchase price, that's a debt he does later. So, if you don't pay for your couch, if you don't pay for the rest of the money of the couch, and the store comes and takes it back, Right? It doesn't mean that it was never your couch. It means it was your couch from the moment you left the store. But you have a debt to the store, and because you can't pay the debt, so they're taking the couch to cover the debt. But you owned it until they took it, and now it's theirs again. Okay? So far, so good? Hi.
It's a question about whether or not you need to give a full payment in order for a kinyan to be chal, or is it that the kinyan is chal no matter what the whatever the payment is, even if it's not the full amount of what's required?
Well, it's not a question. What I'm trying to say is that that's the clear statement, that basically I'm trying to clarify that the kinyan is chal right away no matter what. That's not what the machlokus is about. The kinyan is chal right away. Like I said, if that wasn't the case, we'd be in big trouble with mechiras chametz, because then mechiras chametz never happens. Right? Because I think probably you'd be safe in guessing that nobody here has ever seen the scenario where the purchaser of chametz actually did pay the full amount afterwards and keep the chametz. And so if we're going to say it wasn't his, we're in trouble. The whole thing doesn't work. So it's yours because of the kinyan. And the purchase price is a debt you pay later. So again, when it comes to Mecheres Chametz, kinyan kesef is one of the things. I don't know how many of you have witnessed the actual Mecheres Chametz. It's worth witnessing. But one of the things that happens is that the purchaser gives coins to correspond to how many different people he's buying chametz from. And that's a kinyan kesef. So we know that it's his now right away without paying the purchase price. But what the machlokus is what did that quarter represent? So he gives a quarter per person, whatever. What does that represent? So does that represent something towards the value of the object, a very small down payment? Or should we say, no, it's got nothing to do with the payment. It's a kind of a coincidence that he has to pay money and that he's using money for the kinyan, but there's no correlation to completely separate monies. And that this money is a symbolic tool of kinyan. So you give a quarter as a representational kinyan, but this is not anything related to the value of the item. So the Taz, in Siman Kuf Tzadi, in Choshen Mishpat, the Taz says that it is kesef towards the purchase price, and that's what you're supposed to have in mind when you give the kinyan of kesef. And the Sma disagrees. Sma says, what are you talking about? How could that be? I'll bring you a knockout proof that it's not towards the purchase price, it's not towards the value. Because, says the Sma, where else do you find kinyan kesef being used? Kiddushin. And you're going to tell me that's towards the value of the woman? She's infinitely valuable. Right? There's no purchase price there. So since in the context of Kiddushin, it's clear that it's only symbolic, and it's presumably the same Kinyan Kesef in all the areas of Halacha, so therefore, Kinyan Kesef has nothing to do with the value of the item. It's just a method of Kinyan, but it's not a down payment. Now there is some debate about this. Rabbi Melu understood a little differently. Klausenberger Rebbe has a whole tshuva going through the ins and outs of this question as it relates to Kiddusha Isha. But the Sma's point seems to be that this is not an item that you're purchasing and that you're paying for. That there is a kinyan going on, but this is not a kinyan in the sense that you are acquiring the quote-unquote object. So there are proofs from sources that the woman herself is now purchased. And like we said yesterday, even without the sources, we'd have to figure out what does it mean to say you own her in the first place? What do those words even mean? What would they mean? And so to say that they mean there's monetary investment, there's monetary value, Masha Kansi Isha, Panabaila, whatever she acquires, the husband acquires. So first of all, that's not going to kick in until Erison anyway. Now, is Erison a Kenyan? That's an interesting question that we will come back to. But that's not happening now anyway. And some of the monetary components are Drabanan, so that can't be what we're talking about. So that's hard to say that that's what we would do. Does it have to do with a physical relationship? Also a question, right? To say that she is muteres to the husband, so is that what we mean by a kinyan? That's also tricky. First of all, according to some of the Rishonim, the Rambam is a notable exception here, so maybe it correlates, but according to some of the Rishonim, on the level of Mahat Torah, so there's no Isser of premarital relations, at least in the technical sense. The Rambam is the exception. The Rambam says that the Isser Zona, the Torah prohibits a Zona. We normally translate the word Zona to mean something like a prostitute, but the Rambam understands it to be a panoy al-bahal panuya, a single person, a single man with a single woman. So according to the Rambam, there is an Isser Daraisa, but the Raiva disagrees. So to say that this is for the heter via is difficult. Certainly it's difficult to say that he has a right to relations against the will, chas v'shalom, but that's not going to work. Tazenberger Rebbe has a tshuva as well, where he goes through all the havaminas there. And so it doesn't mean that. So again, question is, what are the words even mean? Now, Noah mentioned yesterday, which the Ran says, that it does create the situation that she now needs a get to marry somebody else. So is that the whole point, that he acquires her only in the sense of negative exclusivity, but not of anything positive for him? And it says, we mentioned yesterday also, the question of ownership, what does ownership mean in general? So ownership in legal thinking, ownership doesn't mean one thing, it's really a bundle of things. So it means a right of use, ownership of an object. It would mean you have a right to use it, you have a right to sell it, you have a right to keep others from using it. So yes, it's true, exclusivity is part of it, but to say that's the whole message here, also a little hard to believe that that's what we mean when we say Haisha Niknes. So what could the Kenyan mean then? So, any thoughts before I go any further? What else could we mean when we talk about the Kenyan? So, to get some context, now let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam, very often quoted Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, where he talks about the whole history, and this is something I want to come back to in a few minutes also. But the Rambam's language in the beginning of Hilchos is, Kol dematan Torah, haya adam pokeya isha b'shuk. It used to be a man would meet a woman in the marketplace, in rotzahu v'hi v'isosa, if they want to live together, machnisosof beso, uvola, v'nol v'natzmo, then he brings her into his house and he has relations with her, v'siyel alisha, and then they're together. Kevin shenitna Torah, nitztavu Yisrael. Once the Torah was given, the world changed, and the Jews were commanded, if a man wants to take a wife, Now, I think it was Jed who mentioned yesterday that it's interesting that here the Pasuk seems to be talking to Ba'ilah. That's in Parach of Beis of Dvar. It's two psukim that we could be referring to when we say Ki Yikach Ish Isha. So in Dvar and Parach of Beis, seems like the Rambam may be here referring to that one. It's Chav Beis of Gimel. Ki Yikach Ish Isha V'ala Usnea. And then the next pasuk goes on to talk about he defames her, pasuk of Motzi Shemra. Another pasuk that's a candidate, which Sefer HaMitzvos is more clearly talking about, and which probably is easier for us to work with, the pasuk we mentioned yesterday, Chof Dalet Aleph, Ki Yikach Ish Isha Uva'Allah, V'haya Agvosim Sachem Ge'ena Kimatza Be'Avaz Dar, V'chasuk Lo Sefer Krisus, V'maslim Bi'adah, V'sholcham Ibeisa. So, in any event, whichever pasuk it is, we'll come back to that point. Rambam continues to say, so these acts of lakicha, that's a mitzvah from the Torah. Beer, the Shtar Matar, the Kesman Debre Sofra, with Kilchum Elu, Hain Hanikroin, Kidushin, O Erison. That's Kidushin, the Chomako. Beish, the Shaniknes, Becha, Megimel Dvar Melo, He Hanikrais, Mekudeshes, O Mureses. And what's the whole consequence of that? The Chavan Shaniknes. Keep going a little bit. Chalaki Gimel came with your nicknames. The Yishuv Nasim Kudeshes. Afal Bishaloni Vola. Below Nichnas Lebeis Baila. Even though she hasn't had a relation yet, and she hasn't gone to his household, which is what we call Eirson. Harehi Eishes Ish. She is now considered to be married. Vahabala Chutz Mi Baila. Chayiv Misa Bezdin, and anyone else had relations with her is Chayiv Misa. Vimratz Vegareish Tzricha Get. And if he wants to divorce, he has to give a get. So, what emerges from this formulation of the Rambam? What do you think is the message that's being conveyed here? What's he contrasting before the Torah, after the Torah? There's a lot to discuss about this, and we'll have to say more about it maybe in a few minutes, but it's unusual. The Rambam gives a whole history lesson. Right? If you saw the Marmar Komos, you may have gotten up to it. I gave you one more place in Mishnah Torah where it also seems to give a history lesson and you have to try to figure out why. But there's presumably some message here. What's he saying, Morty?
Yeah, like before Matan Torah, it was much more haphazard.
Okay, haphazard. It's a good word.
Now after Matan Torah, it's a lot more formal and guided.
Okay,
Kiva. I was asking about the. I mean, assuming you're using Bia as one of the ways of Kiyan, so how does that really differ from that and what Ramon was saying earlier?
That's a great question. So Dia is the big mystery. So, sorry? Right, so that itself is a mystery. So we're going to have to discuss the various complexities of Dia here. It does seem like you're in the same sentence, in the same breath, saying, oh, don't do Dia first until you do Dia first, right? There's something that seems very hard to follow there. So clearly there's a difference in terms of how it's done, but why that difference is enough to radically change it, that we'll have to look at in the context of Kinyan Dia, which we'll talk about soon. It's clearly different in a way from the other two. But just for simplicity's sake, let's focus, let's say, on the other two. So, now
I was going to say, it's like a more formal, public announcement. So before Matan Torah, it kind of just happened. But after Matan Torah, you have something like a shtar, which is like, and nowadays we have public records, where Kes have the same thing, it's like a public acquisition. And Bia, we have to, if it's made and... So it's like the world's kind of changed a little bit, and so mm-hmm. maybe it's more about the Jewish people that the relationships post Matan Torah have more significance than pre Matan Torah.
Okay, so you're bringing up together a lot of interesting ideas. So just to focus on some of the words that have been relevant, haphazard and being not haphazard, formal, public. There's clearly a whole shift that before the Torah, you could have had a relationship on your own terms, whatever it is. And now the Torah says it's not the way it's going to work. That there has to be more formality, more publicity. And you're also, I don't know if this is what you meant to, but no, you're alluding to another interesting issue, the question of what role does community play in marriage? Or the idea that minyan at the wedding, that there's a focus on the minyan. Right, according to the other Rishonim, by the way, who say that Birchas Eirusin is not a Birchas HaMitzvah, they say that it's a bracha in honor of the crowd. Right? There's an interesting focus on the role of community as the validator, as the context, as a crucial component of marriage in general, which is interesting. I'm not sure how much you meant to bring that into the picture, but that's itself interesting, in the idea that maybe after Matan Torah that we became a community where this was a part of it. But even without that, just the idea of formality and publicity, these are crucial concepts, not haphazardness. And another way to put it is seriousness. So basically what the Rambam is telling us is that until the Torah came along, it's one thing. But now that we have a Torah, the Torah says, you are not going to be living with this woman until you show that it is a serious act. So if that's the whole idea, if that's what Kiddushin means, you have to show seriousness. So then we could say, all right, well, that's an interesting point. So All right, I'm ready. I'm ready to show seriousness. Tell me, what do I do? How do I show seriousness? Take out an ad in the newspaper? Get a skywriter? Start a blog? What do I do? How do I make a relationship announcement on Facebook? And how do you show seriousness? So where do you find in halacha seriousness? So then, essentially, what the Gemara says, okay, you want to know where we find... I don't know if you've looked at the Gemara yet, by the way, I didn't actually tell you directly to look at the Gemara past the Mishnah, but if you look at the next few lines, okay, so where do you find seriousness? Okay, you find kinyan. Because what is a kinyan? What is a kinyan in general? So, yes, it's true that in most cases, we use a kinyan to acquire property. But what's happening there? So, somebody sells... couch. Reuven sells a couch to Shimon. So why does the couch become Shimon's? So yes, Shimon's going to have to pay for it, like we discussed before. But that's basically the background of the agreement. Really, it becomes Shimon's because Reuven, who owned it before, Reuven is giving it to him. So basically, there's an agreement between Reuven and Shimon that Reuven, I used to own the couch, Shimon, now it's yours. And Shimon says, yes, I used to not have a couch, now I am taking possession of your couch. So that's the essence of it. The essence of it is, essentially, this is the way the Achronim explain Kinyanim in general, that there's das, that there is a meeting of the minds between these two parties, the one who wants to give and the one who wants to acquire, and that's what makes it happen. But we need some type of method to display that. How is anyone else supposed to know that this has happened, when it happens, when is the moment exactly when the property is transferred? So the halacha has a number of kinyanim, big number of kinyanim. Some of them are min haTorah, some of them are midrabanan, some of them work under these circumstances, some of them work under those circumstances. Again, I would recommend if you ever have the opportunity to watch Mechiras Chametz, it's the number of different kinyanim. We usually use 6 or 7 different kinyanim. Because seriously, 6 or 7 different kinyanim, because we're not sure which ones work. They're various svekas. Some work under some circumstances. It's a question for a lot of reasons. So I think basically it comes out of Kesef, Bah, Shtar, Tindaga. We use about 6 or 7 kinyanim. Tumta, we use a number of kinyanim. So it's definitely, it's good to watch. So these are all different methods that the Torah, the Halacha has, or the Torah Midrabanan, that the Halacha has to display seriousness. So essentially what's happening here is we have a mitzvah of Kiddusha. The way the Rambam understands it, the Torah is saying, you want to live with this woman, you can only do that if first you display seriousness. Oh, so how do we display seriousness? We don't know what does it. So we open up our list of kinyanim, and we basically borrow that concept. And the same tools that display seriousness when purchasing something, that also displays seriousness here. And there are a number of proofs that this is the case. Maybe tomorrow I'll give you some more proofs. But that essentially seems to be what's happening. That it's not that the man acquires the woman. It's that the kinyan is performed in order to show seriousness. And that creates this relationship. Now they are related to each other, so to undo that, you need a get, you need a formal process, because now that's essentially all that has been accomplished. Now we still need to explain, and I'll give you some sources about this also, what exactly constitutes eris, right?
It might be interesting that the Kivan Kivan say Ephraim, and Avram specifically said, no, we need to do a transaction to show everyone the seriousness of
this. That highlights what a Kivan does. Yeah, that's an interesting point. So yeah, that's in the context of significance. That's interesting. And so the whole statement there is that, yes, the property would have been sold anyway, but there's an assertive statement that, no, we need to make this visible. So that symbol of visibility, we transfer it over here. Now, it's interesting to note also maybe we'll mention this point first. So I was discussing with some of the guys in the Beis Medrash. So let's assume for a moment that the Makor is in Perek Chavdalet. Right, this second usage of Ki Kaf Yishisha. So Ki Kaf Yishisha Uva Allah V'hayad Losim Sachein Be'edav Ki Matzah Be'erbos Dabar V'chassu V'osef Kriis V'nasim B'yada V'shulchem Yibesa. So let's assume that that is the source for the Mitzvah of Kedusha. So if that is the source, there's a couple of interesting things. What do you notice about that that's a little surprising? That should be the source for the Mitzvah of Kedusha. What's surprising? No?
It also is the source for divorce.
Oh, so not only is it also the source for divorce, but that kind of seems like it's the main point, right? Which helps for the Rishonim who don't see Kedusha as a Mitzvah. You can see the Pasuk as incidental, that, oh, if you should get married, then if she wants to be with somebody else, there has to be a divorce. But it's up to you whether or not you want to get married. Right? So yes, you're right that it's also a source of divorce, and one could maintain that that's kind of the whole point of the pasuk. Right? So that's interesting. I was wondering, maybe that might be a little bit of a support for the point that you brought up also, of the Ran's focus on the kidney condition having the major significance of you need a get, because essentially it's really the pasuk. So what's the pasuk say? The pasuk says that when you do this kinyan, then there has to be a get afterwards. So as much as it's hard for us to see, is that the whole point of the kinyan? But one could say that that's the reading of the pasuk. The pasuk just says that, oh, when you do the kinyan kedushin, you're going to be get. That's one point that's interesting about it. But the other point that's interesting about it is, why is uvala there? Right? Especially because if you took the word of Allah out, the pasuk would be just as true. Right? Because you need to have a get if there is kedushin. Right? Once upon a time, probably familiar with this, at the time of the Gemara, they used to have a big break between kedushin and nesilin, about a year. So that creates various complexities, which is easy to understand why we don't do it nowadays, because the only impact would be that she needs a get, and there's very little benefit for either side, so you could understand why that's not currently done. But it means, basically, that if you took the word of Allah out, it would all be true, right? So if a man does a kinyan kedushin, gives her a ring, let's say, does a kinyan kedushin, and then he doesn't like her anymore, and she wants to marry somebody else, so he has to give her a get. So the pasuk would basically be just as true without the word of Allah. So what does of Allah come to do for us then? What does it do for us? Why do I need it? What does it add? So, no?
Alphabetically, if it's allowed, then that would be on board for via.
Via as a kinyan. So it happens to be, if you saw, right, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos mentions that as a remez. And it says that remez, that via is a method of kedushin, is from that, like you're saying. Even though that's a little difficult too, because then the question is, so why does the Torah need two verbs? If this is the kinyan, right, so kiyika ishisha uvala. So this kinyan, when he is kona, so then he's kona. And he's kona, so he's kona twice. So you could say, well, if I didn't have the word kiyika, then that would be a problem, because you could have via without any intent for kinyan, so we need to emphasize that. Still seems a little bit extra. But maybe we could say, based on the way we're understanding it with the Rambam, that uvala, you don't need uvala for the din and the pasuk to be true. But that is the point, right? That he wants to be with this woman. So, the Torah says, if that's what's going on, uvala, he wants to be with her, so then how should that be done? Ki yikach ishishu uvala. That first he has to do a kinyan kedushin. And then, in that context, the uvala is legitimate. And then, if he wants to get divorced, so then he has to do so with the get. So it's not that this word makes the pasuk true and that is not true, but that this is the context, this is the whole point. That if you're going to be together, so the Torah came along and said, well, you have to have kinyan kedushin first. So this is also interesting. If you look in the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos, right, so the Rambam put two Rambams there. One, the Rambam, the mitzvah saseh of kedushin, and then he also has a lo saseh, not to have relationship without kedushin. And there he also brings in ksuba, which is a whole discussion as well. Or ksuba, we normally assume is drabanan, the Rambam presumably assumes it's the Rabbanan, so you have to work on that. That's the point we will come back to. But if you read the Rambam there, so he explains also why there's a need to have the Losa say also. And there he explains an interesting idea. It says that the Torah has a knas. If somebody seduces a woman, somebody either is ma'anes or mafata, if he has relationships either through rape or seduction, so then he has to pay a knas. So what's the impact of telling you that there's a knas? So you might say, well, if I see a penalty for something, that already tells me it's wrong. Right? So therefore, maybe that's enough to convey that I'm not allowed to do it. But the Rambam says, basically, that this could have the opposite impact as well. That sometimes when there's a penalty, it kind of creates the impression that it's just an interpersonal issue, and that if you pay the penalty, you're done. That the very fact that the Torah has this penalty could counterintuitively make you think, okay, so that's the whole issue. I pay the penalty. And that would have the opposite effect. That would essentially create prostitution. So therefore, the Torah has to separately emphasize that, no, it's not only about the penalty. There's a penalty. But aside from that, there's also an issue. This is evocative. If you ever read the book Freakonomics. So he talks there about, actually a story in Israel, about a daycare center in Haifa that was frustrated because the parents would show up late regularly, and the teachers and the attendants had to wait for the parents to show up, and they were very upset. So they started instituting a fine, a penalty. If you come late, you have to pay the fine. So what happened after they did that? Things got worse, right? Parents started coming even later. So why shouldn't the penalty be a deterrent, and shouldn't it show how upset they are? So apparently not. Apparently when you pay for something, so then you have the mentality that now it's legitimate. So until now, until they were paying for it, they felt, okay, they're being unfair to these teachers by keeping them waiting. But once there was a penalty and they paid for it, so now they feel, okay, they're entitled, so they came even later. So too, that's what the Rambam essentially says here, that the fact that there's a penalty here could counterintuitively make you think that it's otherwise okay if you pay the penalty, and therefore we have to have a separate issue. I should also add that the Rambam, Mar Nevuchim, as he tends to do, so the Rambam also has extra reasoning why he thinks marriage is important. And he writes that it's best for the children, right? If you can have people get together and have kids, and there's no commitment between the two, and there's no seriousness between the two, so then that's going to affect the upbringing of the children. And also, to take it further, the idea that one woman could casually have children from many different fathers because there's no commitment, so that's also bad for society. So the Rambam in Maribuchim explains that for these reasons again, which these are themes that we find echoed in contemporary discourse as well, but the Rambam's point basically that the seriousness of Kiddushin is necessary so that the act of the physical relationship should be taken seriously, and that what comes along with that, the possibility of having children, of having families, that all of that should be in the context of seriousness and commitment. So all of that is what the Torah is commanding when it says, Ki kach ish isha. So if that's the case, then we could understand that, okay, we have to do things seriously, so we do things seriously by looking at Kinyonim, and that's what tells us how to do it. So there's more to say about this. I also want to explain Ayerson a little bit. So God willing, we'll follow up with that tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have more of a complete picture of what exactly is going on here.